or his honor, my badge, or stead of trust. Do you swear or affirm to the self-appointed oath, number 29, or 29? For this, perhaps for this, I'm looking for.
Of yourself in the sight of the Lord.
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 And he will avenge you. And he will avenge you. A blessing for joy to the Lord.
Our dearest Heavenly Father, we do come before Thee with great humility. We humble ourselves before You that we may be lifted up by You. We've come here tonight, Father, to learn more about Your will, to recognize the error and the false things in our lives that we have believed and that we have followed in error, that we may make those corrections and follow the truth and righteousness that leads to You. We're thankful, Father, for the truth we do know, for the surety of it, for the value it is in our life to produce the fruit of righteousness. May others be able to see that righteousness in us and be drawn to live the same way. May we be Christ-like in our life, that we may show how He lived and who He is in the salvation that He affords, that others may see that fruit and that light in us and be drawn to find out how to be saved themselves. Father, as Your creation, we recognize Your great power as the Creator, the author of our eternal life, as well as our physical life here on this earth. That the One who blesses us from day to day with rain and food and clothing and the wonders of this life and many, many blessings of comfort. We recognize, Father, that these things are shown to us that we might know You have great and wonderful spiritual gifts to give us, and that Your promise of eternal life is even richer than the physical life that You provide for us here. Father, we are thankful to Thee for the congregation of the Lord's people who worship here. Your people, people of faith, who share a trust and a love and a devotion to You, to want to get together multiple times in the week, to worship You, to glorify You, and to edify each other on our most holy faith. We pray for those, Father, who are choose not to be here, and especially those who are hindered from being here, that You may remove those hindrances and that You may relight the fire in those who have become lax in their service, that they may be with us regularly, more regularly, to receive that edification and to be an encouragement to us. But mostly, Father, we pray that their souls will be protected and that when they are not able to take advantage of the opportunity to be built up together as we study and as we pray together and sing songs of praise together that encourage us on our daily walk on the narrow path, that they will be protected and they will be provided for. And give us good words, Father, and as we seek them out and try to help and be encouraging. May those words land on good and honest hearts that will allow themselves to be penetrated and encouraged to be back with us again. Father, we're thankful to Thee for the work that has endured here for many years now. And we pray that You might protect us to continue to produce the truth and to show the light of Jesus and His Word being preached in truth in this region, in this area. Father, we're thankful to Thee for Randy and for his preaching, that he will continue to work with us and to provide truth from your scriptures as he teaches from this pulpit. We thank You, Father, for each one of the teachers, as was prayed earlier, who participate in trying to share the truth of Your Word with each other. May You continue to bless these works as we go from day to day, that we might be successful to see to our own salvation and help others around about us find the same thing. Father, we thank You for the ability to pray for our brethren who are sick and suffering. And now, Father, we have on our minds those who are weak and infirm from the flesh. We pray that You'd continue to be with David and Amy and help them to recover from their illnesses and to continue to strengthen themselves. We're thankful that we've been able to see them more regularly and that You've blessed them with this strength coming back as You have so far. We pray that You'd be with Dave Christie as he's recovering in the hospital and this new procedure that he's undertaken. May it do him great good and continue to provide the relief that he needs, that he may be strengthened again in the body and return to the services as he is his desire, and for us to be able to see him as is our desire. We thank You, Father, for the provisions that have been made for him and pray that that might continue until he is fully recovered and healed. Father, there are others who are on our minds regularly, family members and friends whom we know, maybe not everyone knows, but they're on our hearts and minds, and we lift them up before You, the great God, the great physician, who can heal all and take care of all, and You know all. Father, please be with us now as we continue through this hour, this time of worship at this time, and for the message that will be taught that might draw someone to further greater obedience unto You. May these words be an encouragement to us to live righteously and to re-examine our lives always so that we might correct those things that are wrong and be able to live more godly and soberly and righteously in this present world to attain a hope and realize the hope that You've given us of eternal salvation and life with You forevermore. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Not sure what you're expecting from the invitation talk tonight, but I'm going to put something up here on the screen. Maybe that's what you're expecting. Nothing. It literally was nothing, right? Can you see that? That zero right there?
Imagine if you would.
There's a zero. So, here it comes. So what is that? Well, it's nothing. But look at this. Ooh. So what do we got now? Still nothing, right? But what about this? It's still a bunch of nothing. So, you know, put a zero on a page, then put a couple more zeros, then put a bunch of other zeros on there. You still have a big fat zero nada, right? Nothing. The value doesn't change a bit. But what if I do this? Put a one before it. Might get you a little more excited if I put some decimal points and commas and a big dollar sign in front of it. Then it's something real real valuable, isn't it? But just that one little thing that changes something that had no value, and now it has tremendous worth and power. I want to read with you 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." Isn't that interesting? All these things that seem so wonderful and so important. So when we are described here, all these wonderful works, all these things that can be done, speaking with the tongues of angels, and I don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. Have prophetic powers and not love, then nothing. All mysteries and all knowledge, all faith, as to remove mountains, but not love. If I give away all I have, deliver my body to be burned, and don't have love, I'm nothing. Somebody shared that with me today. It was Jarell, and she shared it from somebody else. But I thought, well, that's a great illustration. All those zeros, and you keep adding zeros, and keep adding and adding, and you think about how far Paul could have gone with this illustration. It just kept listing and listing and listing and listing all the things that you could possibly do, but have not love. It still would have added up to zero. It would have added up to nothing. And so, you could quote the entire Bible. Wouldn't that be a great thing? I mean, one of the people that I have admired greatly was John Clark. People said he had a photographic memory, and he could tell you on what page of the Bible a verse was. He could immediately turn there if somebody asked him. And certainly he was one that had love for others, but let's say that you had that knowledge, that you could be so smart you could quote the entire Bible. It could all be for nothing. But if you place love in front of all of those things that Paul is mentioning here, they're all something, right? If you do these things and you have love, then they're all significant. Just like putting that one in front of all of those zeros. So all of that knowledge, Paul is saying, instead of it puffing up, making you conceited, or all of that service that you're doing, it becomes about others. It becomes about God instead of being about yourself. And we've mentioned this many times, the motives that people have when they do good or do charity work or whatever it might be. You know, sometimes those motives are very sincere and godly, and sometimes they're not. But so it's very important here that we understand that we have to have love. And 1 Corinthians 13 is a great passage. It's read many, many times at weddings. Let's go ahead and read the rest of it, because what Paul does here is a very beautiful thing, because what he does after he expresses the need for love and that it's so important that it makes everything else worthwhile and significant, then he expands on what it means to love, and he defines it. He defines it in positive ways, and he defines it in negative ways. It says love is not this. So he says love is patient and is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but when then face to face, now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide in these three, but the greatest of these is love. And so here, you know, Paul is describing the necessity of love. And in the first couple of verses here, as we read previously, there's spiritual gifts and prophecy and things discussed here. And so he says it's necessary in the exercise of those things. It's also necessary in the exercise of great sacrifice. And so, without love, any ability that we may have, whether it's a teaching or, other things that we might do, you need to have love. And without love, any service rendered is not pleasing to God. The positive qualities here that he mentions are that love suffers long, that it's patient, and certainly we can understand that. Sometimes we suffer long with our children, and so parents generally are maybe a little more patient with their child if. As opposed to somebody else's. That's not always true, but generally true. So love suffers long. It endures slights and wrongs patiently, just like God does. Love is kind. But Paul also lists some negative qualities here. Love does not envy. It's not jealous of others. Does not parade itself. It's not brag or boast of one's abilities and possessions, not puffed up, doesn't behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, it's not seeking its own happiness to the injury of others, does not fly into a rage by being provoked, keeps its temper under control, thinks no evil. My father always described this as putting the best possible construction on the motives and of others, that you're assuming the best about people instead of assuming the worst, and sometimes we don't do that, and so that's what that means here. Thinks no evil. It's not malicious and just trying to fault find, and does not rejoice in iniquity. Does not rejoice over the sin of others and rejoice in that, and certainly delight when somebody else is guilty of something. But you rejoice in the truth that you are bearing all things and believing all things and hope all things. And so I always find it challenging to read this short chapter, because I find that it's something that shows me that I've still got a lot of work to do, because these are qualities that we all need, but they're not always the easiest to apply. But let's think about this, and let's think about having these qualities of love, because if you don't have that, then you're just a big zero, right? You have to remember that love is what makes all of these things be what they ought to be. And so it's very important, super important to reflect on what is probably one of the most popular chapters in the Bible. And for good reason. It's one that we ought to read. It's one that we ought to not only read it, but we ought to embody it. And certainly be thankful that for the love that God had for us, because He was the ultimate example of love and what He did for us. He patiently bears with us. He's given us time. It's evidenced by us being together tonight but he's still given us time to be obedient to him. So let's take advantage of the blessings that God has given us by being united with him so that we can be united together in eternity. If we can help in any way respond to the gospel, we'd invite you to come. Always stand and sing.
Let us pray. O merciful, heavenly, everlasting Father, we come to you in prayer with humility and understanding of how great you are and the control you have over this world. We thank you for the word you've given to us, that we can come to know you and have a relationship with you that brings with it the promise of eternal life. We ask that you help us in this world that we can always be looking to thee and thinking of the life after rather than the petty problems in comparison that we have on earth. We ask that you help those who could not be with us, whether it be physical or spiritual ailments. We specifically pray for Brother Christie as he's dealing with his surgery, and Brother Noah as he's also recovering from his wisdom teeth. We ask that you help us to live in accordance with your word as we go throughout our daily lives, that we can continue to keep you in our thoughts is with every decision that we make, and that we produce fruit and help others around us and shine your light through us into the dark world that we're in at the moment. We thank you for sending your Son to die on that cross so that we can have the relationship, the light, and the hope that it gives us to know that you are in control and that you love us and you have a plan for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.